Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Hello, everyone. This is Samara Luna.
And this is Serenity Moonraven.
And this is the Tree of Life Hour. And for those of you that don't know what the Tree of Life Hour is, it is a radio show brought to you on the Pagans Tonight Network by the Tree of Life Community Center, a community center group here in Louisville, Kentucky, that we are getting off the ground for the last year and a half. We've been getting it off the ground. It takes a little while. That we bring you a show of everything that we think should be going on in the community, or things that we think the community should know, I should say, and different points of view, different items, things like that. Serenity, you have anything to add?
No, I think that about sums it up.
So tonight's show is going to be about pagan symbolism, because it was a couple weeks ago someone in chat actually was asking some questions about pagan symbols, so we thought, why not do a show about it? So we're going to start the show off tonight actually with a meditation. It's Reverend Dawn's meditation with the crystal web, which is something that, you know, a lot of pagans go to crystals and use them in their magic or whatever they might, healing different things. So there's a lot of symbolism with crystals, and a lot of people like meditation. So I'm going to start us off with the meditation. Assuming, I thought I had it up, but I didn't. Start with the Reverend Dawn's crystal web meditation.
We will now open the crystal web. Let us find a comfortable position. Imagine with me the sleeping crystals in the web. All over the world, hundreds, thousands of crystals buried in the earth or otherwise linked into the web, all sleeping in their cubes of white light. Cubes of light which slowly spin clockwise around the crystals they encase. Let us call into ourselves the energy of the universe. Let us open ourselves to the energy of the universe and imagine the energy coming down into us. A beautiful, clear, white light coming down into us through the crown of our head. A beautiful, clear, white light full of strength and joy and love. This is the light of spirit, the light of being, the light from which all things are made. Let that beautiful, clear, white light enter you and fill you. Let it go into every part of your body. Let it suffuse you. Let it move within you. Be one with the light. Feel its power. Feel its strength. Feel its love. Now imagine that light most strongly in your heart chakra. Feel the light within your heart. Feel it growing stronger and brighter within you. Stronger and brighter and brighter and stronger. Seeing it shining out from your heart like a white sun within you. Now from your heart, send out a beam of white light to your crystal access point. See that beam of light go out to your access point, no matter how close or far your access point may be. See the beam of light from your heart connect to the access point. See the light flow from your heart through the beam and into the cube of light surrounding your crystal. See the cube of light begin to glow within the white light from your heart. See the cube grow brighter. See it spin faster. Send more and more light from your heart into the cube. See it spin faster and faster. See the cube transform into a tetrahedron, a triangle of spinning light, spinning clockwise around your access crystal. The access point is now open. Continue to send light from your heart into your access point. And in that light, let us set our intent. Divine Mother Goddess, Divine Father God, beloved ancestors, we pray that you will help us to send this energy in love and trust, that the changes which are unfolding shall take the most positive and peaceful form possible, if it be in accordance with the free will and highest purposes of all. Beloved ones, may it be so. Now see that light spread out from your crystal, traveling along the lines of the web to join with other crystals. See the light spreading through the whole of the web, illuminating it across the globe. Continue to send light from your heart into your access point, and from your access point throughout the web. And may the guardians of the web anchor and direct this energy for the highest good, by our will so mote it be.
So mote it be.
And now let the image fade from your mind. It will continue forward without our further attention. And let us take a moment to clear and release all excess energy, keeping what we need and letting any excess release, be it flowing out of you like water, returning to the universe.
All right, and we are back. And again, for those of you just joining, I'm Samara Luna, and Serenity Moonraven is with me tonight.
Hola.
And we are going to be discussing pagan symbolism. So, Serenity, what's the first thing that comes to mind when the words pagan and symbols are put together? What do you think of when someone says a pagan symbol?
I guess the first thing to come to mind for me is a pentagram, which is weird because I'm not really Wiccan, but whatever. Anyway, so I think, yeah, circles, pentagrams,
Well, a pentagram's not just a pentacle's not just a Wiccan symbol. It's a pretty much generic pagan symbol.
I guess you're right. I don't have this knowledge, but I will take your word on it.
Well, because if you think about it, Wicca is more of a modern term. And pentacles have been around since way before Christianity, to the point where, you know, a lot of Christians even put pentacles in churches, like in Germany and different places, because they were good symbols. They warded off evil. They represented spirituality over the elements, over physical, things. So it's a very, widely used symbol.
This is true. I hadn't thought of it like that, but you're right.
So, and for those of you in chat and those of you on the listening in through your phone, if you want to have any input in the show, just type it in chat, which is through blogtalkradio.com, and you do have to have a membership, but it is free, and you can join, and you can be part of the chat and discuss things with us. Also, if you are on the phone and you have anything you want to say, press 1, and we will put you into the queue and bring you on the air, and you can discuss whatever you would like to say. For those of you that don't know, a pinnacle is a five-pointed star with the point on top. And the pinnacle has the circle around it. The pentagram is just the star. Isn't that right?
That's my understanding of it, yes.
And each corner of the star represents the four elements And then the fifth represents spirituality, or what's another term you've heard used for the fifth point?
What did you call it? I missed.
I've always kind of used the term spirituality.
I've heard it called ether, spirit,
self, the higher self.
Yeah, I've never heard that, but that's cool.
And a lot of times you'll see it used in jewelry, tattoos, other designs. A lot of different Wiccan rituals or other even pagan rituals will trace the pentagram in the air, corners, or use it as a blessing, kind of how I know a lot of people have probably seen, you know, how Catholics use the cross as blessing, or was it Ash Wednesday where they put the cross on the head with the ash? So a lot of pagans will also use the pentacle as a blessing the same way on the forehead. A lot of people use it as a symbol of protection to ward against negative energy. Here's a neat little tidbit about it, and this is off of paganwiccanabout.com. It says there is a theory that the pentacle originated as the symbol of a Greek agricultural and fertility goddess named Cor, or also Ceres. Her sacred fruit was apple, and when you cut an apple in half crosswise, you some cultures refer to the apple star as the star of wisdom, and so apples are associated with knowledge. So I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know that about the origin, at least the theory of the origin of it. I knew about the apple, though.
Apples are used for so many things.
Yeah. But I knew that, like, if you cut it crosswise, that there's a star in it where the seeds are.
Yes, you do.
Let's see. Also, the pentacle has magical properties associated with the element of earth, even though it does consist all aspects of the other elements as well. And, of course, the pentacle was also recognized by the United States Veterans Association in June of 2007 for approval on headstones of Wiccan and pagan soldiers. So it is not used in altered pagan traditions, but I would say almost that you see more people somewhere in regardless of tradition than not, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think that's an accurate statement.
Because like you said, even though you're not really Wiccan, you wear a pinnacle.
This is true.
So, and then also you will see it used as also a pinnacle, which on your altar, which is typically wooden, metal, or clay disc that the design is inscribed in. So a lot of people use that on their altar also. So, and speaking of the four elements, one of the other, or not really other, but some of the other symbols used, I see a lot, are the specific symbols for the elements of the world, like air, earth, fire, and water. Let's see, let's start with air. Do you know what the air symbol looks like, Serenity?
It's a triangle with a horizontal line that's a little more than halfway up, and it cuts across said triangle.
Oh, the one I see is a little over halfway down, where it looks like there's a bar at the bottom of the triangle.
Hmm.
But it is a triangle point up.
Yes.
And Excuse me, I have to cough. I apologize in advance. I'm trying to mute my phone, and it's not working, and I'm trying to hold it all in at the same time. Okay, it's passed. One of the four classic elements that's invoked in Wiccan and pagan rituals is the element of the Eve, and it's connected to the breath of life and the soul. Let's see, what else? Knowledge. What else can you think of that air is associated with? Emotions. Right?
I thought water was supposed to be more emotions.
Yeah, I guess it is. Never mind.
But air is intelligence and wisdom. And organization and the right side of the brain, I believe.
And you know what? I just want to say this. You're right also. Apparently, there for the air symbol, there's pretty much three different main symbols out there. The one is how you set a triangle with a line across the top. There's the triangle with the line across the bottom. And then there's also the circle with a point in the center, which I've seen before also.
I've seen the circle.
And in some traditions, the triangle is also used to mark the associations of degree, typically the first degree. And it says in alchemy, the symbol is sometimes shown as the horizontal line extending beyond the sides of the triangle. So, and also on Pagan About Our Comet, it says that in rituals, when the element of air is called for, you can use the triangular symbol or use a feather, incense, or a fan. Communication, wisdom, or the power of the mind. So it says, do any outdoors working on a windy day and allows the power of air to aid you. Serenity, we could go outside right now in the windy cold.
And be less distracted by shiny?
Yeah. No, because the snow's falling.
Do what now?
I said no, because the snow is falling.
Oh, yeah.
So next, I'm going to discuss Earth. Do you know what the Earth symbol looks like?
The Earth symbol is, if I remember right, I think it's an upside-down triangle with the line at what would be the bottom, the fatter part of the triangle.
So at the point of the triangle, point down.
Yes.
And that is what I'm showing also.
Woo! Go me! Yay! You win!
And this one, though, it looks like this is, it can also be viewed as also pretty much the Earth symbol turned, or I'm sorry, the air symbol turned upside down. So the band is across the long part also. It can be viewed that way or drawn that way or however you want to put it. It's also considered the ultimate symbol of the divine feminine. For those of you that have seen Da Vinci Code, the triangle upside down represents the divine feminine. So, let's see. Some people kind of view it as a womb with the triangle upside down. And then, here's an interesting tidbit. It says the Hopi peoples of the American Southwest indicated Earth not as a triangle, but as a labyrinth with one opening. This opening was the womb from which all life sprang. And in alchemy, the element of Earth is represented by the triangle with a crossbar. So, that I thought was pretty neat. And then let's look at fire and serenity with fire. What's the symbol?
Oh God. This is just a guess, but is it an upside down triangle with the bar closer to the top?
No, it's a right side up triangle with nothing.
No.
But I've also seen it and actually used it in glass etching where it looks like almost like fire flames. Like it's got like a triangle bottom, but instead of like the triangle being straight up to a point, it's made to look like flames.
Okay.
And they also say that sometimes in Wicca, the triangle is a mark of a degree initiation also. It is sometimes displayed within a circle, or fire may be represented by a circle alone. So the triangle with its pyramid shape is often symbolic of the masculine aspect of the divine. Again, Da Vinci Code, we saw it in there. And then this is kind of neat. It says that in 1887, Lydia Bell wrote in The Path, that's the name of the book, not sure what it's about, that the triangles are a symbol for truth. As a symbol for the whole of truth, it holds the key to all science, to all wisdom, and its study leads with certain steps to and through that door, wherein the mystery of life ceases to be a problem and becomes revelation. The triangle is a unit. Each part of the triangle is a unit. Hence, it follows that every part manifests the whole. And then in The Element of Witchcraft, Ellen Dugan suggests a focused fire meditation is a way of harnessing this volatile element. And she associates fire with the transformation and change. If you're looking at a working related to some sort of interchange and growth, consider doing some color-oriented candle magic, which I believe it would be red, correct?
I think so.
And if you have access to any sort of flame, a candle, bonfire, et cetera, you can use fire scrying for divination purposes. So then that leads us to air. And I know personally, water. And you know what? Something looks wrong. Okay, fire was a right side up triangle. So what is water?
I'm guessing it's the upside down triangle.
Which I'm guessing would also represent the female, the feminine divine. That water is the feminine energy. Let's see, some traditions, the symbol is used to represent the second degree of initiation. The inverted triangle is considered feminine, which we also associated with another element before. And it says water can also be represented by a circle with a horizontal crossbar or by a series of three wavy lines. Now, I actually used the series of three wavy lines when I did a altar set. So water is connected to the West and is typically related to healing and purification. And what is the type of water that almost every spiritual path uses in some way?
Holy water?
Yay! Yes, holy water. And it is, I was kind of, when I first got into paganism and someone was talking about using holy water, I was under the misconception that it was a Christian thing, and, you know, something blessed by the priest in a Catholic church. And it took me a while to wrap my head around that it wasn't just a Christian thing. It is a part of almost a lot of religions out there. So a lot of people use it to consecrate a circle when they cast a circle. consecrate the tools that they use on their altar, especially when they add salt to it. And a lot of people I know, Trinity and I actually went through a Wicca 101 course together, and we would actually turn the water, we would bless the water to make it holy water by using salt and actually doing a pentacle in the air over it. Is that right, Trinity? That's how we did it?
Mm-hmm.
And then this is also, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Oh, I thought you were saying something. Sorry.
Well, because I was saying yes, because I went, mm-hmm, because my mouth was full. So now my mouth is not full, so I can say yes.
Oh, so you're eating and doing a radio show at the same time.
I'm drinking coffee and doing a radio show at the same time.
Oh, okay. That works. I was going to say, because if it was food, you should have had enough for everyone. So, and many cultures also have water spirits that are part of their folklore and mythology. The Greeks had a water spirit known as a naiad, often presided over the spring or stream. I believe they were protectors also of the spring or stream. The Romans had similar entity found in the Caminae. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Among a number of ethnic groups of Cameroon, the water spirits called Zengu serve as protective deities, which is not uncommon among other African diasporic faiths. Also, at the time of the full moon, you can use water scrying to aid with divination. So those are some of the more widely used. And let's see, what are some of the other ones? Let's see. Well, we have the very first pagan symbol that I ever found myself attracted to and it was like, oh, that's cool, was an ankh. So, Trinity, you know what ankh is, don't you?
Yeah, ankh if you love Isis.
Oh, my God.
That is, like, my favorite bumper sticker.
Wow. I've actually seen that bumper sticker. I just wasn't expecting that. Okay. I even have the ankh tattooed on my ankle. Let's see. The ankh is an ancient Egyptian symbol which represents eternal life. And according to the Egyptian Book of the Living and Dying, the ankh represents the key to life. Now, I didn't know this until I looked this up, but one theory is that the loop at the top symbolizes the rising sun. The horizontal bars represent feminine energy, and the vertical bar indicates masculine energy. Together, they combine to form the symbol of fertility and power. Another other ideas is that the ankh is a representation of a sandal strap. Some researchers have indicated that it was used as a cartouche, I think is how you say it, of a king's name, and others see it as a phallic symbol due to its shape and structure. But regardless of how you see where it came from, it's pretty much universally considered a symbol of life everlasting, and it is worn as a symbol of protection also. It's featured in funerary artwork and temple carvings and in reliefs excavated from ancient Egypt. It's traditionally drawn in gold because it's the color of the sun. And the ankh's also been, because, you know, how big the Egyptian culture was, the ankh's been found in many places other than Egypt. The Rosicrucians and the Coptic Christians used it as a symbol, despite the fact that it was shrouded in mystery for centuries. And I didn't know this, but guess who wore an ankh pendant among his other jewelry? Someone very famous.
Bon Jovi?
No.
What?
Think older and bigger.
Older and wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea either. That was pretty good. That's a pretty cool. So let's see. Before we go to break, let's discuss one more symbol. What's a symbol that you want to discuss?
Why don't we talk about the Let's do the triquetra.
Yay, Celtic symbol.
Yeah, go on.
No, as I said, yay, Celtic symbol.
Right. In some traditions, it represents the mind, body, and soul, but in Celtic-based pagan groups, it's symbolic of the three realms of the earth, sea, and sky. It is also, I was looking for the words.
I was just going to describe for people that don't know what a triquetra looks like. Imagine three circles interlocked, and the pieces for the place the three circles would overlap is the triquetra. So it's got three points almost on it. Was that any good at trying to describe it on a radio show?
I think so.
Okay, go on with what you were saying. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I was just going to mention that it can also be a symbol of eternity, or, you know, it's considered like a Celtic knot or an eternity knot because it never has a starting point or an ending point.
And let's see. Yes, because in Christian Ireland, the triquetra was used to represent the Holy Trinity. And it's been speculated that it was the Celtic symbol of feminine spirituality. It's also been found as a symbol of Odin in the Nordic lands. Some pagan writers also state that it represents the triple goddess, but there's no actual, I guess, scholarly evidence of the connection between the triple goddess and the particular symbol. But you know what? That's the whole thing with symbols, is they can mean to you whatever you want them to mean. And I think you said this, that it represents the connection of mind, body, and soul. Is that what you said?
I did.
And it's also the symbolic of the three realms of earth, sea, and sky. Didn't know that.
I also said that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I must have gotten distracted. Oh, shiny. oh, goodness, it has also been discovered on 11th century runestones in Sweden. It's so not just, you know, Celtic. It's also been used in Norse. It's also some Germanic coins. It says there's a strong similarity between the triquetra and the Norse Falknut design, which is the symbol of Odin itself. And the triquetra has been found in the Book of Kells and artworks and other illuminated manuscripts, and often appears in metalworking and jewelry. And it says that it rarely appears by itself, which has led some scholars to speculate that it was originally created for use just as filler material. In other words, if you had a blank space on your artwork, you could squeeze a triquetra in there. Didn't know that. It's amazing what scholars come up with sometimes. So, and then where does a lot of, you know, of newer pagans that may not have done as much research, what TV show do they associate the Chakravarta with?
Charmed.
Yes. A lot of people associate it with the show Charmed, and as it representing the power of three. So, and I guess it's about that time for us to take a break. So let's see, what do we want to listen to? Anybody in chat or anywhere have a suggestion? Strandy, is there anything you in particularly want to listen to? Here's something. We had Celia or Kelia, one day I'll figure out how to pronounce her name, has a song actually called Symbol. Let's see what that sounds like, because I don't think I've ever heard it. So, are we ready? Here we go. We're going to break. Everyone enjoy.
An American soldier came home today, wrapped up as cargo in an American flag. He asked for one sweet silent symbol on his grave, but the VA gun said, sorry son, request a knight. Well, he served as any other with his hands and with his heart. He prayed to Father Sky, he bowed down to Mother Earth. He honored air and water and the fire he danced around, but you didn't honor him before you put him in the ground. It's a symbol, it's a sign, it stands for everything divine. Excuse me, sir, I think you're wrong. I checked it the last time I read the doctrine. It said, practicing your faith is not a crime. So let this soldier rest, honor his request. You sent that little girl crying home from school. She disobeyed the rules. You took away her pendant, grandmother's gift. But the other kids are free to wear their crucifix. And she knows that if you catch her, that you'll have her expelled. She's frightened every member of the family's gone to hell. So messed up, she's 5 years old. She doesn't know her rights. But her daddy is a lawyer, so get ready for the fight. Symbol, it's a sign, it stands for everything defined. I'm sorry, sir, you're flat out wrong. I checked since the last time I read the doctrine. It said, practicing your faith is not a crime. So if you make these children pray, let them do it their own way. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to stand up and fight for what we believe in. He's a believer and he wears it on his arm. First day to jab, he set off all of the alarms. The memo spread like wildfire that the devil had arrived. And the virus got to corporate and they fired him by five. Now all this misperception and everyone runs scared. Scared of the neighbors and scared to declare, cause the We believe in the freedom of speech, freedom of faith, freedom of religion, freedom to stand up and fight for what we believe in, freedom of speech, freedom of faith.
During our commercial break. And now, back to our show.
All right, and we are back. We made it through the commercial break. Yay! And if anyone's just joining us, this is Samara Luna.
And Serenity Moonraven.
And you are back listening to the Tree of Life Hour here on the Pagans Tonight Network through Blog Talk Radio. And I thought it only appropriate, since we mentioned it, and our partner in crime is not here tonight, Raven Firedoll. So I figure we should mention two big symbols. We mentioned Valknut, when we were talking about the Triclerica, and then we will also need to discuss Molnir, which is also known as Thor's hammer, correct? So let's talk about the Valknut first, since it was mentioned during the Triclerica. It is, how would you describe it? A bunch of triangles?
Three triangles put together, right? Three?
Yes, and it's like an overlapping chain of the triangles, almost, depend on how it's drawn or used. It is similar in a way to the Triclerica, I guess you'd say. The triangles are all point up, or here's another one here, they're all point down. They're all facing the same direction. The main one, and then you got a second one that's a little bit off to the right, and then you got a third one that's a little bit off from the center one to the left. It's found in Old Norse stone carvings and funerary fillets. It's also sometimes called Ragnir's heart, or the heart of the slain, or the heart of Vala, or the Boromir triangle. I guess I'm saying that right. And it's called that after the legendary giant of the Eddas. Of course, that's best known as the Valknut, or the Knot of the Slain. And it was used on the funerary motive where it probably signified the afterlife. It's often found in art depicting the god Odin, where it may represent his power over death. It can also be drawn unicursally, which means one stroke, making it a popular talisman of protection against spirits. It also states about how it's suggestive the related Celtic symbols of motherhood and rebirth. It's also suggested that it possibly could have been a goddess symbol at some point in history, the nine formation, but it also is suggestive of the nine worlds and nine fates of Norse mythology. The interwoven shapes suggest the belief of the interrelatedness of the three realms of earth, hell, and heaven, and the nine domains they encompass. Let's see, is there anything else that I need to say about the document?
I don't know. I know Faith likes to say that wearing the Valknut is like how Odin aims his arrows at your heart, I think. something like that. I don't think I'm saying it right.
And unfortunately, she sent me an email, but I never got it on some of this stuff, so I'm not really sure what the thought or the telephone says on it, because she actually sent it to me, but for somewhere between her email and my email, it got lost. So let's look at Mjolnir. So offhand, Serenity, what is Mjolnir? Do you know?
Mjolnir? I have no idea.
Thor's hammer. Am I saying it wrong?
The one that's Mjolnir?
Yeah.
No, I think that's Mjolnir.
I thought that's what I was saying.
In the Word document, it wasn't showing anything.
Oh. But it's also a Norse symbol, a representative of the magical weapon of Thor. And Mjolnir means lightning and symbolized the god's power over thunder and lightning, and was always said to return after it had been thrown. The Thor's hammer amulet was worn frequently by believers as a symbol of protection, a practice so popular it continued even after most of the Norse population had converted to Christianity. In modern times, it is often used as an emblem of recognition for members of the Ossetir faith and as a symbol of Norse. A later form of the Mjolnir is called the Wolf's Cross or Dragon's Cross and was associated with early Norse Christianity. Interesting. And sometimes you actually see a truck wreck in the middle of the Mjolnir, too, on the amulet. So what's another symbol we should discuss, another popular one?
I think that we should talk about, hold on, where I was just looking at it. I think we should talk about Mendes.
And that's so funny. I was on that one right when you said that.
Well, the Mendes, or the inverted pentagram, is not called the Baphomet.
Actually, it is also called the sigil of Baphomet or the Sabbatic goat.
Right. But that was because there was a confusion. Hold on. The so-called Mendes Pinnacle, or Sabbatic Goat Emblem, was first connected to Satanism in the 1960s, falsely attributed to the 19th century occultist Eliphas Lévi, or Eliphas Lévi, whatever. This symbol is commonly confused with Levi's depiction of the Templar icon Baphomet, which was never presented as a symbol of evil, but of harmony, redemption, and union with the divine. Nonetheless, the two have been confused, and so often it is nearly impossible to separate them in modern usage. The Mendes goat derives from a connection Levi made between the Templar Baphomet, the goat of the witch's Sabbat, as depicted in popular art of the time, and the Egyptian god Amon of Mendes, Egypt. An emblem, according to Levi, of fertility and sexual freedom. Levi's connection was...
Spurious.
Oh, yes.
As in, it may not have been concrete.
No, I just lost my place when I was reading.
Oh, okay.
yeah. The god in question was represented by a ram, not a goat. But the confusion has persisted. A simplified version of the symbol shown was adopted as the emblem of Anton LaVey's Church of Satan in 1966. The Hebrew letters surrounding the pinnacle spell out Leviathan, the mythic sea monster of the Old Testament. The emblem is occasionally called the Judas goat by modern Satanists.
Interesting. So, and then there's a bunch of different stuff, but, let's see, what is another one? We should discuss the symbols of the horn god and the triple goddess. So, let's do the horn god first. So, the symbol for the horn god is a circle with a crescent moon on top, like horns, like facing up. So it's a representation of the horn god, representing the masculine polarity of the universe. The horn god is the archetypal horn shaman, related to the ancient gods of vegetation and hunt, the Greek Pan, the Celtic Cronus, and the Egyptian Amon. It's sometimes referred to as the horn moon. And as such, it's also a symbol of the goddess Diana, especially in Dianic Wicca. Another horn god image created from a pinnacle, this one with the pan goat in appearance, of course, is also used. So a lot of people will turn the pinnacle upside down, kind of like the same way of the symbol that we just discussed, the Mendes. A similar appearing symbol was drawn from Egyptian hieroglyphs representing the cow goddess Hathor. It's sometimes used by Egyptian recon or feminine-centered pagans, which looks very similar symbol, which is a full moon with a waxing crescent on one side and a waning crescent on the other side, representing the three aspects of the moon. The three ages of womankind, maiden, mother, crone, as well as Lady or Goddess, the feminine polarity of the universe. Is there anything I missed on those two?
I don't think so.
Gosh, we're already running out of time. Now, there is no way that we could touch on all pagan symbols. There's too many different religions, even just within paganism. There are so many symbols that can be used. Serenity, is there anything you want to say about symbols real quick?
Well, as you pointed out, I think that symbols can mean whatever you need them to mean or whatever they mean to you, and that's why in especially modern paganism, it is difficult to talk about all of the different symbols in one show because there are so many of them.
All right, so we mainly just wanted to touch on some of the more popular ones that are used within paganism in general. I hope we were able to touch on that and help everyone out. I hope we answered some questions that maybe some people had that hadn't voiced or that had voiced it weeks ago. So, let's see, do we have any events coming up that we know of?
Well, there's always Pagan Unity Festival.
Yes, there's always Pagan Unity Festival that we will be doing a live show from again this year. And when is that? Let's see. But first, before we get to Puff, just to kind of go in order a little bit, what's coming up more recently is it looks like, for some reason, I'm only showing it on Sunday, but she usually does it on Saturday and Sunday. The Roots of Awareness Psychic Fair, isn't that usually Saturday and Sunday?
I think it is both Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, for some reason, it's only showing up on my calendar for Sunday. But, you know, if you need to call Matrix Place of Change, it's the Roots of Awareness Psychic Fair, which there'll be different psychics there and such. I believe admission is a dog food bag, right? Or cat food bag? Dog food?
Yes, and no, according to Facebook, it is Sundays from 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. And the bag of dog or cat food is going to be donated to the no-kill feeding program for pets.
Cool. And then we have, let's see, in February, Convocation is in February. I believe it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It may be Thursday also, February 21st and on is the Friday. Convocation in Detroit, Michigan. Let's see, and then I guess the next thing coming up would be PUFF, or Pagan Unity Festival, in May, I think it's May 16th, right?
Yeah.
At Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee. We, like I said, we will be there doing a live show. Over on Zell will be there. Shauna Orr Knight. I think Judith Illis might be coming back this year. Does it say, is it her that it says that hasn't been set in stone yet, I believe? Yes, this is Miss Illis's appearance is pending. But we will have the wonderful Byron Ballard, River and Joyce Higginbotham, who we have had the pleasure of meeting a couple of times now. And Alex Bledsoe, the author. Let's see, who else will be there? Will Dorothy be there this year?
I don't know.
She's not listed. I can't imagine Dorothy Morrison not being there. She's been there every year. I've been there. Maybe it's just not, I don't know. Everyone hoped that she's going to be there, but if she's not, maybe she's taking a well-needed break. But the M.R. Sellers will also be there. Who is...
He's in.
What?
I said he's infamous now.
Hasn't he always been?
Okay, you make a point.
And for those of you that don't know, join the Pagan Unity Festival Facebook group and you will understand very quickly.
Or you'll be more confused.
By the way, the theme this year is Rocky Horror Picture Show. So we are planning on having a blast. And by the way, for those of you that may or may not know, Alex Bledsoe was actually on our radio program a while back when we were talking to Pagan authors. So it was a lot of fun to have him. And also Byron Ballard has been on our show before talking about Appalachian Hoodoo. So please come out and meet all of the people that have been our guests in person. And Oberon is always so much fun to hang around with, so please come out. Let's see. So next week's show, we are doing – I just looked it up and I already forgot. I think it's time for me to go to bed. Oh, Pagan Networking in Real Life and Online. So we're going to be discussing you know, what you do to actually network with people that you have stuff in common with. How do you network with other pagans, both, you know, in real life, going to meetups and such, or in chat rooms and such online. So it should be an interesting conversation. What do you think, Serenity?
Definitely interesting.
Because we all have those experiences that we need to share. Right?
It's true. It would have helped me having known how to network if I was younger, when I was younger.
Or at least where to start, where to look, where not to go. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is time for our show to end. So I'm going to say I hope that everyone has a beautiful evening and enjoys what is left of the power of the full moon out there. So this is Serenity, or this is Mara Luna. Oh, look, I was trying to call you. This is Shamara Luna, and I hope everyone has a blessed night.
It's just because you want to be me.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm just saying. Everyone say to yourself and be fabulous.
So everyone have a blessed night, and I am going to play. I thought I had something picked out, but no, I didn't. I lost it again. Oh, shiny. Let's play some Kenny Klein. Let's play. So we're still kind of dealing with the full moon. Let's play Diana's Moon. I'm going to play Kenny Klein, and this is Diana's Moon. And you all have a blessed night, and we'll see you next week.
Vagabond nature and a compunction to sing the blues. I want around town, town, wearing holes in the soles of my shoes. I never stay too long in one place where I hang my hat at my home. But I owe my devotion to one face, and that's the face of Diana's moon. Oh, she shines on me so brightly, shines on me every night. And as long as I see her brightly, I know that everything's alright. Shine on me, Diana, Diana of the moon. I love you so as I want in this world, and I know I'll be coming home soon. Shining every night, and as as long as I see her above me, I know that everything's all right. Oh, shine on me, Lady Diana, Diana of the moon. I love you so as I wander this world, and I know that I'll be coming home soon. Ba ba da da ba da 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 ba da 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 ba da ba da 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 da
joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio, or download us later on iTunes. Please check our schedule for accurate show times. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com and let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.
Fuck you, bitch. Bye.